Wow.
I mean, I guess it's...
It's just like when Lars bragged about his height before we started. Now he's bragging about his vaccination.
I didn't brag about my height. I said we should compare heights.
Lars.
Yeah, I'm tall and I'm vaccinated. Get helped.
How tall are you, though?
That's a good combination.
Yeah, Lars, how tall are you?
Lars is 6'8".
6'8", nice. That's
what?
Hot.
Really? Nuh-uh. No.
Yeah, he's
There's
he's
no
tall,
way you're
man.
6'8", dude. There's no way.
He's tall as fuck.
I can't tell if you're
6'8" is a mindset, and Lars embodies that.
Basketball. Do you know there's like a statistic where if you're over 7 foot, I think it's like there's a 10% chance you play for the NBA. Like it's not, I guess, just because there's not many people over 7 foot,
right?
And so if you are, you're more likely to be like pushed into playing basketball just because.
Yeah.
Is there a statistic like that for like really short people? Like if you're like 2 feet.
What sport do they play?
That's just children. We have those.
There's a 7% chance you're a child.
Yeah, we have those. They're plentiful.
I think it's really amazing, by the way, that like just like those interesting comebacks that taller people have for like if someone says, "How's the weather up there?" Like they'll say, "It's raining," and then they spit on the other person.
Jesus. Has that ever happened? That's kind of mean.
Anyway, do you guys want to get started?
Oh, I thought we were already started.
Yeah, we should probably start this.
Okay. Doplex, you want to lead her in?
I sure can.
Wait, actually, do you have any questions, Sydney, before we start?
No. Seems pretty straightforward, right? Just a little baby podcast.
Just say words.
Just a little baby podcast, and make sure
they make sense.
Yeah.
There's a lot of words you can choose from, so just make sure they're in the right order.
And make sure they're not the seven that we can't say.
Wait.
Well, I kind of know what those are.
Lars, say them all at once.
Can you swear in this? Or?
Yeah, you can swear. Oh, anyway.
Okay.
Yeah, you can
swear. Try to avoid like the more volatile racial slurs, but you know.
Okay.
Or double down.
Double down for your chance to win a new Suzuki Swift.
All right, let's start this shit. All right.
Hey, welcome to the first podcast. We're here with Sid Snap.
Hi.
Go ahead and start the podcast for us.
Me?
Yeah.
You.
I start the podcast.
Go on.
Do whatever you want. Just start it off.
Okay. Fuck. All right. Well, I wasn't prepared. Welcome to the first podcast. Yeah.
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 Yeah. We did it.
Woo.
This is the first podcast. I'm Lars from Norway. With me is Doplex TV.
Hello.
And many kudos. And you cannot spell those three names without the letters N, T, and R.
Oh my God.
Look at that.
My favorite.
This is not only is this the first podcast, this is my first podcast with a woman. Because Lars usually tells me not to hop on. We have those on. Which is
yeah.
Great, but, so.
I feel like you're kind of a liability.
Welcome.
At that point.
Can I be concerned?
Can't be trusted.
Yeah, we keep kudos chained in the basement anytime somebody of the opposite sex comes through.
Yeah.
Like, sorry, buddy, not today.
Jesus Christ.
So, Sydney,
hey,
tell us what you do in 17 words, no more or less.
I'm counting.
Oh,
yeah,
shit.
We're counting.
Okay.
And boy, if you go over or under,
swear to God.
I make videos on YouTube. Shit, how many was that? And
that's four.
They're, shit. God. And
oh,
they
five,
are
sorry.
Lewd and anime like there. I made it under, so is that like qualify for anything?
Yeah.
Okay. Now that'll do.
All right.
Yeah, man.
And you live in Japan.
I do, yes.
How's that?
I wish I was living in Japan.
Living in Japan is good. I like it. It has its ups and downs, but you know, as any country does. Yeah. Yeah, man.
Would you care to name the ups and downs? I'm curious, and I'm sure many kudos is too.
Okay. Well, Japan, of course, I love living in Japan just because obviously I like anime and, you know, there's abundance of that. And there's like a whole other culture that no other country, of course, has. Like,
right.
And especially like just how odd things are, I guess, when you could, if you look around, like, you know, there's like, oh, Jesus Christ. Like, I don't know. I guess like
take a time.
Vending machines, right? Vending yeah. machines everywhere is convenient. You know, if I want to go,
I love the vending machines there.
Yes, it's too convenient. And I guess if I feel like I want to get wasted at 3 a.m. and there's no bars open, well, guess what? There's like some bunny bars open, like weird stuff. I guess like that.
That's fucking cool.
Actually, yeah. Wait, we should probably, before we go further, which of us three have been to Japan? Because I have.
I've been to Japan.
I've never been to Japan, but I have some blood in me that's been to Japan.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you are partially Japanese, Topix.
I am partially Japanese, and yet I've never unlocked my chakra and become fully Japanese. Oof. I don't know what I'm saying.
You've never gone on a pilgrimage to find your... to find your long lost homeland.
Yeah, yeah. I need to go meditate in like a Zen garden or something.
Yeah, Doplix, a couple, sweet. not a couple episodes, but a while back, you once asked the question on the podcast.
Oh God,
are Japanese people Asian? So I think you do need to rediscover those roots. Yeah. But it's time.
Yeah.
There was that. Have you seen the pictures from one of those like children react or whatever videos? And it's like the little Korean girl. Oh yeah, no, it's like they're like they're trying Korean snacks, and she's like, "What's Korean?" And they're like, "You're Korean." And she's like, "Oh,
I am."
Yeah, it's very cute. Anyway, so continue, Sydney. Your thoughts?
Okay, and that's I guess the one thing about Japan that is still hard to swallow, even though I've almost lived here for 2 years now, is they're very openly racist.
Oh,
interesting.
Yeah.
Actually, I've heard that. Yeah, like against just any outsiders, right?
Yeah, they are very xenophobic. Very, very, very much.
Yeah, that's crazy. Mm. So like, is that something you experience on the regular? Like just walking around?
I wouldn't say it's mega regular. Like there will be times where I'm walking around and a kid will be like, "Oh, don't get close to her. She's going to give us corona," or something what like that.
God damn.
It's like the opposite of America.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
You know? On the other side of that, I have heard that in Japan, there's also like an odd fascination with white people. Is that true?
Yes, it's very, very true. Yes.
So there's no in between.
Why?
You're kind of like, sometimes you're revered and other times you just kind of gawked it. It's very odd.
It's like a weird mix. Yeah. It's like sometimes they'd be like, "Oh, I don't like that you're here, but also I wonder what our babies would look like, you know?"
Let's find out
in the new Japanese game show.
Japan's like 98% Japanese people. Like it's one of the most like I don't know what the term is, but it's like the most ethnically like non-diverse countries in the world, I suppose. So I guess that's why they see people of any race as like this, you stand out quite a lot.
Yeah, right. Not to like justify it, but I mean,
no, I'm not justifying. I'm just saying that's probably why it is.
Yeah,
that's
probably why.
Yeah,
let's make it okay. It's just what it is.
Yeah.
Is it like do you speak the language or is it like?
I do speak the language. I don't know how well. Obviously, I know enough to get around, and if I want need something, it's like it comes to me. But I'm still in classes. Just to get my JLPTs.
Yeah. Right.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Okay.
I was top of my class in Japanese for all of high school, and that's why I went to Japan, and now I've forgotten all of it. So that's a good skill. So
they
I'm
took
proud
it
of
from
you
when you went there.
Oh. No Nihongo Josuts for you.
It was like a chain around your neck. They ripped it off. You don't deserve
I was liberated. That's what happens when you get boring and focused on your career.
Right.
You forget all the things that make you happy in life. But I'm glad that you're still learning Japanese.
Yeah, thank you. What's your career then? What made you like lose Japanese?
Art.
Ooh, art
English.
Guy.
Ooh. Oh, look at me. Oh, I can paint pretty picture. Yeah, great lot of good. That'll do me in Japan. Actually, that probably would help in Japan.
That would help.
Yeah, probably would.
It would though.
Yeah, it'd be sweet.
Tom in the chat describes you as a 3D artist wanker.
Oh. I'm three of those things.
But, okay.
You can guess which ones.
Yeah. Narrow that down.
So, okay, I'm just going to check my notes for the show. I've written down reverse nightmares. Do you guys ever get these?
Oh, just checking my notes for the show.
Yes. Yeah.
Care to elaborate on reverse nightmares?
Yeah.
Are you just talking about like every day?
Damn.
So that's how it is for me.
No, no, I'm not asking about the frequency of it. I'm just saying, do you guys experience them?
What are they?
A reverse nightmare is like when you have a dream that's too good and it doesn't match your life situation and you wake up and you're like, ah, fuck.
Oh,
of course.
Yeah.
Okay.
We had a conversation about this very recently.
Yeah, where do we talk about this? I don't remember where we talked. We had a conversation about this, but I don't remember where.
Well, but, we asked the question of, would you rather wake up from a dream where everything was really good and you're really bummed out when you wake up, or would you rather have a nightmare where when you wake up, you're relieved that that didn't happen?
Yeah. And I think I said I'd rather have a nightmare and wake up to normal life than have a reverse nightmare that's better than normal life and wake up and be disappointed. Yeah.
Oh, I would go the opposite probably.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, okay, let me put this into context for you. Like, for example, the last video I uploaded, right? I had a dream that it was like blowing up and it was like getting like a shit ton of traction. And I specifically remember like I was in bed looking at my phone and seeing that my video was popping off, but I was dreaming, and then I woke up again in my dream and then it wasn't. And I was like, oh, that kind of sucks.
Okay, so here's the thing about that, which is really amusing to me, is that your brain is apparently a very specific kind of dick to you.
Yeah, like, it is. Just, it is.
Wow.
Well, that's just your brain in general. It knows everything about you and more, so it can fuck with you better than anyone.
I feel like we're kind of talking to ourselves a lot here. Sydney, do you ever experience this?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I feel like, though, especially like with what you said before, like your brain is the biggest dick to you, right? Essentially.
Yeah.
Or like, no. Mm. So I feel like when I have dreams like that where I'm either really relieved or, you know, something good happens maybe in this dream that makes me disappointed when I wake up, in the end, like, it's going to make something like distressing happen. So it's like you wake up and you're conflicted, like, OK, I was glad that happened, but also glad it didn't. Did that make sense? I felt that made sense, but maybe I'm wrong. Yeah, man.
That makes sense.
I'm relieved.
Because to answer your original question, Duplex, it's like, you know, I don't really have nightmares anymore, but when I was a kid, I had them pretty frequently, and they sucked. And so I think I would rather experience, like, 5 seconds of, ah, oh, damn it, than, like, the like, Lovecraftian, like, eldritch abominations that would appear in my nightmares.
To me, it probably depends how much it affects my sleep. Like, if when you have those nightmares that, like, genuinely fuck you up for a wee while, I mean, you have, like, an uncomfortable sleep. Even though you're relieved when you wake up, you still had an awful sleep, so you might feel shitty that day. Right. So I guess at least if a dream is nice, you're probably having a good sleep, and even though you're bummed out for like 5 minutes when you wake up, you kind of forget about it pretty quickly. So
yeah
I guess I'd rather have nice dreams.
But Kudos, you go ahead.
I was going to say the worst example of having a really nice dream and then waking up and being bummed out was that I can think of. This happened when I was like 11 or 12. This is how long it stuck with me, but I was so excited to play Zelda Wind Waker. I think that's like the game I've been the most excited to play my entire life. And I, like, it wasn't out for a few more months. And I had a dream that I was playing it, and then I woke up and it was still like 3 or 4 months to my birthday.
Jesus.
And I was so sad. Damn.
See, my nightmares are a little more extreme. I feel like I still have these a lot. But in my nightmares, I had to like kill someone in self-defense. Like, someone was like actively trying to kill me, and then I had to kill them.
Wow.
And then in my nightmare, I was like, fuck, I'm going to go to prison for the rest of my life because I had to kill this person. Mm. And then like my dream life is completely ruined. But then I wake up, I'm like, oh, thank God I didn't kill anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was just you reliving memories from living in Tijuana.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Do you guys still get nightmares? I like very rarely get them these days.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh, okay. Wait, does
I only
it count
get them if I'm like, oh, now you go, Lars.
Oh no, okay, go ahead, Kudos.
So I only get them if I'm really hot. Like if like No, like really, that's the, because you only get them when you're really uncomfortable. I've found that anyway. So like if okay. it's like, say if I get like tangled up in a blanket too much and I get way too hot, or like if it's a like the middle of fucking summer here, it's like 40 degrees or like 30 degrees at night. Celsius, not your silly one.
Can someone convert that in the chat, please?
A hot. It'll be like, or and maybe that's when I'll be like, okay, this is shit. And I'll wake up like sweating and hot. And that's when I have nightmares.
Right.
Wait, does it count if, is it a nightmare if it's just like slightly unpleasant? Because I have a lot of dreams where I'm back in college and like I'll be not doing super well. Like, is that a nightmare?
I don't know. Sydney, would you consider that a nightmare?
I feel like that's more, I guess it could be a nightmare. If it's stressful, I'd say so. But like, that's like a very wee nightmare.
Mm. Yeah. It's more like a realistic fear.
Also, my dreams are extremely sexual. And this only started like a couple years ago. I don't know why.
All right. There he is.
Like really graphically sexual. I've been shocked at what my brain has been able to come up with recently.
Lars just fucking cans of Chef Boyardee in his dream.
Yeah.
Lars is waking up with new, like, he writes it down. Like, oh, we should try that one out next time.
Yeah. I go through a lot of cans.
So I got to put a watermelon in a microwave.
His dream journal is just the Kama Sutra. Anyway, that leads us into your channel, Sydney. Yeah. Look at that.
Full circle. All right. How grateful I am for that lead.
What's the biggest hentai?
The biggest hentai.
The biggest hentai.
What, like in physically density? Biggest. Oh, just you like mean the, like pop?
Just like in like square footage by
like giant tests kind of stuff.
Fuck. Like
I'm just throwing that question out and you can interpret that however you want.
I'm just gonna assume like this hentai title is like really, really like fat and like the is it the dick? Let me think. Maybe girlfriend girl times girl, I don't know. There's my answer there. Because it's the dick density for me. Yeah.
Okay.
The DD.
How
many girls? Girl times girl times girl?
Yeah, man, just the three. Just the three.
Okay.
Chris, do you have any questions for her that aren't like really putting her on the spot? Really awkward?
No.
That's all I do.
I'm sorry.
No, don't be sorry.
I'm so awkward.
So I guess as a fellow YouTuber, I often like to cover topics that can be risque, but never quite to the same levels as covering hentai. How do you find like creating content that I feel like YouTube very much doesn't want to be on their site, but there's obviously a really large audience for it anyway? Like, how do you navigate that? Like, I did one video that Lars has linked in chat about Belle Delphine. I was very proud of it, and then YouTube was like, nah, fuck you, and it's got an R18 rating now. So it's about 3 months of my life just kind of been there. So how do you find navigating that sort of adult space on YouTube?
Well, it can be quite tricky, of course, because I obviously censor, but there's still, you know, nonetheless, I always do follow within the guidelines, even though, you know, as much as they probably don't think people are going to like poke hole or see beyond what was written or try to get away with as much as they can. I clearly do. I do get marked R18 sometimes, especially when there's like more some lewd in the title, like obviously like the tier list of pocket pussies or but. Nonetheless, yeah, I always follow within the guidelines. So if I got marked or something like that, then I would definitely fight it. And I usually don't win, but you know.
Yeah. I also didn't win my appeal. Do you run, feel free to not answer if you don't want to, but do you run into limited ads a lot or is it like not too bad for you?
Oh, no. I'm not monetized.
Oh, damn. But you're not monetized at all.
Very, very rarely. It's very rare.
Oh, sure. Wow. Okay. Interesting. So how do you, how do you, is YouTube your full-time job or do you have another job?
No, YouTube definitely is my full-time job. Of course I do like side things as well. You know, stuff.
stuff and things.
Things and stuff.
So definitely is my full-time
job. Yes, of course. Okay. Sure.
Yeah. How does that work? Like, how do you, How do you make money if you're not really monetizing YouTube? How is YouTube your full-time job?
Patreon, as well as I take sponsors.
Ah, okay.
Okay.
I suppose, yeah, and there's quite a few sponsors in the I guess, like, the lewd scene, right? Like, lewd games.
Oh, yeah.
You know what's weird? Like, that I don't understand. It's like, if there's a creator who's going to talk about this stuff, and they're going to be financially supported anyway, why doesn't YouTube just, like, back off a bit and be like, all right, yeah, this is fine, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Like, that's so weird to me.
I think they just want a family-friendly platform, but unfortunately, when you're allowing, like, everything essentially...
Like penis pump tutorials?
Yeah.
The thumbnail for that one's so funny.
Like, there's videos of people having sex that are just... But it's put as educational, and right. It's not censored.
Yeah.
And it's just... They let that happen, but then it's just, like, somebody uploads a video talking about, you know... Ugly bastards, and then it's just the end of the world.
Yeah. It's so annoying.
Yeah,
hell yeah, man.
The rules are very skewed. I imagine, did you, like, once you found, like, your channel blow up, did you find that happens a lot more? Like, suddenly they scrutinize the hell out of you versus when you're kind of just kicking around in like, the sub 10K range, they really don't give a shit.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Once you start getting up more in subscribers, then YouTube's like, I'm not liking the looks of this.
Yeah.
By the way, Doplex in the chat has revealed that Leon Kennedy is his man crush, and you can tune into these episodes live at discord.t1podcast.com and reveal interesting information about the hosts, as well as chat with the guests on air.
I'm about to bust.
Nice.
Do you just have, like, a soundboard of, like, random things on it?
No, Dominic's is just really, he's like a, I don't know what you call
I'm really
him.
Good at impressions.
He's an amazing
here's
voice.
One.
Yeah,
voice
is that?
Yeah. Here's one.
So how did you do, like, all the muscle?
he's a ventriloquist as well.
I'm here.
I want you to fucking fart for me.
So, when Amir joined the podcast, originally he just had a keyboard, like a musical
Sex.
Keyboard. And he fairly recently upgraded to the soundboard.
Yeah.
And it's gotten so much better.
It has its ups and downs, yeah.
I miss keyboard Dopex. That was a classic era.
I miss that era. I've been wanting to bring that up.
I still have it. I could bust it out at any point, but it would take some setup. Yeah.
I'm about to bust.
Feces thrown all over the walls.
Anyway, okay, we're talking about ourselves again. Sydney, how was your day?
Honestly, so I'm not going to lie to you.
Wait, I didn't hear you because Doplex was playing with his toy.
No, I just needed to finish. Sorry, continue.
I woke up not that long ago, so it's been going swimmingly.
What time is it?
Yeah.
I woke up at about an hour and a half. So now it's 11:30, but I woke up at 10 a.m. because I had a little wine last night. You know,
The devil's blood.
Devil's piss.
I want to talk about Japan some more because I went there when I was 17, and they don't know what white people look like when they're 18. So I was able to go into all the bars and sex stores, and that felt like a coming of age thing to me because I was, you know, when you're 17,
coming
you're like,
of age,
yeah, coming in the corner of the elevator at the sex store. But there was
consexual.
I want to tell funny Japan stories. Let's all tell funny Japan stories. And Doplex, you can just make some up.
Okay.
So I was allowed to go to... I have a good one.
I was able to go into like all these R18 things, which like when you're 17 is like, holy shit, I can go into these places. It felt like kind of like cheating in a video game, you know? Like I was like putting some cheat codes to like skip ahead of you just so I have a preview of what's to come. So that was pretty cool. But I went into a casino. I don't actually know what the legal age for gambling in Japan is, but I went in anyway. And obviously, like the pachinko parlors have the ball bearings that you trade for. Is it something weird? Like gambling is illegal, but arcades aren't. So you trade your winnings for a prize, and then they buy the prize off you, like instantly.
Wait, what?
It's the weirdest loophole. Yeah, like gambling for money is illegal, but gambling like playing arcades for prizes. You know, like you hand in your tickets and you get your big stuff beer or more likely packet of gum, because who the fuck gets that many tickets?
Wow.
But if you do that, like you do that, and then immediately they'll just buy it back off you like a NPC in an RPG, and then give you like the actual money that you know you had earned. It's a very weird system. But anyway,
that's like Prohibition era.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
That reminds me of, okay, so have you guys ever heard of Blind Pigs?
No.
Okay, and I'll let you get back to it in a second, Kudos. I just wanted to bring this up.
Yeah, go.
Oh, so a blind pig was this thing they did back in the, like, 1910s, 1920s, Prohibition era of America, where they would have some weird, they would have an establishment, some weird thing like, oh, look, there's a blind pig. And then they would serve you complimentary alcohol
to get
around the sale of it.
Yeah.
So, and it was like usually bullshit, like, who cares if a pig is blind? Like, that's not interesting.
Yeah. Buy a napkin and get a whiskey.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Anyway,
continue, Kudos.
Well, so at these, it's not like, at the casinos here in Australia, it's like your money's just on like a ticket. Like you, when you finish with like the poker machine or whatever, you push a button and it prints out a ticket, and then you either put that ticket into another machine and it like still has the value on it, or you take it to the counter and they just cash out. But obviously at other casinos, they just like, they either give you chips or tokens or whatever. At the casino I went to, it's pachinko, right? So it's like ball bearings. And when you win, it spits out ball bearings. And what the real, like, I guess the hardcore, maybe problem gamblers, what they do is they have these plastic trays and they just put all their ball bearings in that, and they just put it beside them on the floor. And then, you know, they get another tray and they'll just keep playing. And then eventually, I guess they take all their fucking piles of ball bearings up to the counter and cash in. But I was walking, it was dark, I was with my homestay brother, mm-hmm. and my foot clipped one of these guys' plastic things, and it's fucking ball bearings. So they just went, just spilled everywhere all over the casino, just fucking went fucking everywhere. And I just like jitsed it. I just like speed walked out of there.
Well, you ran away.
I didn't run away. I just cut it because it was dark and it was like there's a lot of people, but it definitely was me who had it. I know. So I just kind of quickly walked away from it because I was like, I'm not even really meant to be in here. Like, I'm definitely underage being in this bar,
right?
In this casino, rather. So I just nipped out of there. And that guy probably just spent an hour packing up all his ball bearings.
Damn.
Anyway, nice.
That was my Japan story. Now, what's yours?
I mean, I guess it's. I don't. Let me think. I guess I'd have to think.
What's some good stories of like maybe awkward encounters, or maybe somewhere like the language barrier fucked you over? Because that definitely happened to me.
Or maybe like when you first moved to Japan.
What? Okay. So we moved to Japan in October of 2019. So honestly, it was actually quite hard to initially move here because a lot of apartments don't like having foreigners in them. So we got rejected from 18 apartments.
Oh, wow. How come?
Yeah, because they don't like want to have foreigners living in their apartment.
That makes sense.
You're going to white up the place.
Yeah. It's like, I don't like that white person in my space. But then we got lucky and we got accepted into one, and then it was an adjustment, because definitely it was scary at first living here because it's a whole language that we haven't practiced enough at that time. So I'd go into places and they'd be like, oh, you know, do you want smoking or not? And we'd be like, fuck off, I don't know what you're saying, we're leaving, like, for like restaurants. And you know, getting stuff was never completely easy, but it, you know, like, especially, okay, a side thing that I just want to complain about. Do you guys know what key money is?
Key money?
No, I don't know.
Okay. Well, it's this really stupid fucking thing in Japan where if you're allowed to move into somewhere, you pay the landlord a thank you fee, and he charges about $10,000 extra dollars for you saying thank you for letting me rent your apartment.
What the fuck?
Yes, yeah, very dumb.
What the fuck?
That's awful.
And is that mandatory?
Yeah, it's mandatory. If you want to live there, then yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Mandatory thanks. I think that's just paying at that time.
Yeah. It's, well, literally extortion.
Maybe Kudos can say what the fuck to this, but I don't think Doblux and I can, because we live in a country where we have tipping.
That's
so
true.
Oh, yeah. Man, fuck tipping.
Yeah.
Okay, so I don't want to get like political here or anything, but we have this weird thing in California where, okay, so just to explain to any foreigners, in America, they have the minimum wage, and then they have the tipped minimum
wage. Maximum wage. No, I'm just kidding.
So if you have a job where you get tips, they don't have to pay you as much as minimum wage in most states.
Sure.
And right. then if you don't make enough with tips, your boss does technically have to pay you minimum wage at that point, but it is a lower wage. But in California, the tipped wage is the same as the minimum wage, but we still tip. It's like really broken.
Mm.
I don't understand it.
Mm. Yeah, that's stupid.
I'm really conflicted yeah. here because Uber's trying to like bring tipping in, which kind of pisses me off because we mm-hmm. don't have a tipping culture in Australia or New Zealand. And I don't want there to be because I think it's a stupid system. But they're doing this shit now where like when the drivers, you know, pack your food up or whatever, it's like, oh, would you like to give them a tip? Like tipping helps support our drivers, blah, blah, blah. And I'm really conflicted because I'm like, I don't want to do this because then that normalizes it and lets Uber get away with not paying their employees a proper wage because then they can just like right. push yeah. on to us. But then I also don't want to just let this guy, you know, get fucked out on a delivery fee. So I don't know. I'm like, yeah. it's a lose-lose. Either I fuck over the delivery driver, but stick it to the man, or yeah, it sucks, man.
Yeah, I totally feel you there. My brain has just been hardwired to like tip very generously because like I know the struggles of being in that position. Mm. And sometimes a tip can make all the difference because like I've seen like even outside of my apartment complex, like some random like Uber Eats driver like tell me, he's like, I don't know how to get up there because I live in like a gated community. And he's like, the guy said he won't tip me unless I bring it to his door.
Well, I think Uber Eats is a little different because they're not paid minimum wage. That's a gig economy job. So it's like,
I guess, but still.
But I feel weird, like, because in California, it's weird because you tip.
Right.
But only at some places. Like, you tip at a restaurant, even though, like, logically speaking, you shouldn't have to. But then everywhere else, like, you kind of don't. Well, not everywhere else, but it's just, there's weird social rules with it. I wish they would kind of.
I like tipping.
I like tipping when someone goes above and beyond. I'm not like a huge fan. I will do it, but I'm not a huge fan of like tipping someone at Denny's or something where they're just like.
I don't know, man. I've been on a business trip before where I watched somebody literally tip the dude at Benihana's 5 cents.
Yeah.
And that like, that shit hurts me so hard.
Wait, Cindy, like, I hear that. Oh, sorry, Duplex. I didn't know you. I was going to
loop our guest in here. Yeah.
Sydney, I hear tipping is actually frowned upon in Japan.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
Wait, really?
As it should be.
Because it's like you're saying to them essentially, you clearly aren't doing your job well enough, so here's enough to make up for it. So it's kind of very disrespectful.
Damn.
Yeah, they don't take it well.
Meanwhile, in America, we're like, oh, fuck yeah. Got $5.
Give me that money.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah.
But also, it makes sense. Like, I know, obviously, like, in Japanese culture, the Japanese people are a very proud people. So that makes sense.
Mm.
Like, I could see that being a thing.
Like, before I lived in Japan, like, obviously, I lived in a few other countries, but I'm American as well. I was born and raised in America.
Right.
So, obviously, I know that tipping culture is pretty bullshit and lame. But
yeah,
I feel like, is America the only country that still does tipping?
I don't know.
There's probably some random ones around the place.
Yeah.
I could be completely wrong here,
and someone might call me out in the comments, but I think in Europe you can tip if it's like exceptional service. Sure.
Mm-hmm. We kind of have that here. Like Basel and stuff will have a tip jar, but like it's, you know, no one really does it for the most part. When I worked as a server, I got like one $10 tip once from like some travelers. I guess maybe it was normal where they were from and they either didn't realize or just thought it would be nice to do. So, I mean, that was cool, but yeah,
I actually have a funny tipping story, but it's also kind of gross.
Okay.
When I worked at the adult store, which I've talked about before, there was this greasy old guy that came in. And when I worked there, I was like an 18-year-old little twink, you know. I was very small
and
just
changed.
Yeah. But this guy, he told me to bend over and pick up some DVDs for him. And I didn't know he was like checking me out. And so when I stood up, he gave me $80 for bending over. And I felt so, violated, but also I was 18 years old and I was like, oh, fuck yeah.
$80 is $80 at that point. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Exactly.
If someone asked me, would you bend over for $80? I'd be like, yeah. Like, yeah.
It's 80, it's $80. I think I can do this.
Yeah.
Oh, that's an interesting concept, by the way, because it's been really interesting, like, over the years to see how much the value of money in my life has scaled up, or actually scaled down, actually. Because, like, when you're 15, getting an extra $10 is really, like, cool and nice, right? But now it's like, if I don't spend $100 during a day, like, that's doing pretty well. Like, it's like...
I was talking to someone about that a wee while ago, like, thinking back to when I was at university and I didn't have a job and I'll just have to, like, ration. Like, I was pretty lucky. I was supported by my parents and the government through uni, but I was still, like, you know, didn't have any real money to spend on extra things. And I remember, like really, like, oh, fuck, I wanted to buy a 3DS so I could buy Pokemon X and Y, or just... Why? Because I didn't need both.
Yeah.
And I remember having to like justify that and spend weeks like budgeting and planning it out and being like, all right, if I don't eat for like a few, if I just eat fuck all and don't go out for drinking. That was the other thing. Like, you couldn't go out. If you went to a bar, you could have like one beer and then be like, well, time to go home now. But now it's just like, this doesn't fucking matter. Feels good. Growing up is fun. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise.
So, Sydney.
Sydney.
Yes.
What's the worst hentai you've ever read? What one's disturbing?
I'm sorry, what's the...
Yeah, what's the worst hentai? You can decipher that how you want.
Or the best.
I did have a question, but I'll let Kudos rudely interject. That's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very hard to answer that, considering there's a lot of hentai that I wish I never saw.
That's
but
true.
I have.
That describes most of my time and fortune.
Yeah, fair. yeah, there's a lot of dead baby stuff that I'm okay not... Not remembering.
Probably a good memory to block out.
Jesus Christ, no.
Even know that was a genre.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty sure I saw something on 4chan once when I was like 13 or 14 in that genre, like just one image, and it's stuck with me to today. It scarred me.
What the fuck? So like you walk into a comic book store and just like...
Give me the dead baby stuff.
Where's the dead babies?
That's my kink.
That's so weird. I don't even know that's a thing.
I know that's like
everything is a thing.
Complex. God. Rule 34, you know this. Is that like those sort of extreme kinks? Are those like common in, say, like manga stores in Japan?
It's actually like I just went to a doujin store recently and they had a whole section sort of for like gudel.
My favorite. Yes.
Gore.
Yeah. I find.
Wait, what is that?
That's just
a gore.
Yeah,
gory
hentai.
Oh,
yeah.
That's the kind of stuff that sticks with you.
There's a lot of sections for very niche things in Japan, which is another thing that I find very like interesting. Is like Japan always keeps in mind a lot of everything in this world, including if you want to get off to girls' intestines.
Oh,
yeah.
Jesus.
Moderator Haru in the chat says. Rule 34, and I just got to give a shout out to Moderator Haru, who is the most innocent person I have ever met. She has somehow survived on the internet long enough to the point where she doesn't know what that is in 2021. So shout out to you,
that
Haru.
That is impressive. So the time I read someone on Reddit said that they managed to like avoid the Darth Vader reveal until... like 2016, and then they went and watched Star Wars, and I was like, "How the fuck?
Wow!
Did you miss like that? Did that not get spoiled for you in like a million different ways throughout your life? It's impressive." So going back to my question, okay, so there's obviously some very disgusting things that probably wouldn't be very fun to listen to. Wow, I would be interested because I have morbid curiosity about that kind of thing. But
because you're a sick, because
I'm a fucking piece of shit. But like, what's the sort of what's one that's just like. Bad in like a funny way, like just kind of one you always kind of think about and laugh.
I think the ones with Hitler are always kind of funny.
Wow.
What are we talking here? Like Hitler
it's
with tits?
A
or
scenario that are just like suddenly like a girl, like a high school girl's walking by and someone's like, oh, it's Hitler. What's Hitler? And then just start having sex and it's just like, what the fuck?
those Axis forces, man.
I guess that's about as taboo as you can get.
Yeah.
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 Well,
you're having sex with a dead guy.
The dead baby things was probably a bit worse, but.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
I mean, Hitler caused a lot of dead babies, so.
Yeah.
True.
Kind of related.
I mean,
Now, you said you said the ones, plural. Is this like a recurring genre?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Entire Hitler genre.
There's never going to be a whole just one Hitler hentai. Are you kidding me?
Hitler cinematic universe, yeah.
Yes.
The box set.
I'm going to need you to link me one of those. It seems really funny.
Will do.
Find Hitler and fuck him in the ass. So I had a question, and this isn't really a question, just, hey, you know someone we know, which is Sea Dog.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, C-Dog. He's been on the podcast. He was a great guest.
Dog is
really
yeah. He lives 5 minutes from me.
Oh.
We are besties. We are the besties.
Tell him I said hi.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I didn't really have a question there, just observation.
Oh.
Whereabouts,
yeah.
not to dox you, feel free to tell us your full address, but what city in Japan do you live?
I can't say, sorry.
Oh, that's understandable. That's fair.
She lives in the city of Japan. Yeah.
Don't listen to Kudos. He likes to implicate people.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess I could... I'm curious if you don't mind, like, because obviously maybe I could just say near Tokyo.
Okay, yeah, no, I wasn't trying to, yeah. I wasn't trying to dox you. It's just, Japan, and I'm just interested in all the places within Japan. Like, I spent 2 weeks in Tokyo, and, what a city. It's, I mean, I was there for 2 weeks, and I still feel like I didn't even see, like, a fraction of a percent of it. It was,
Kuda, she just did dox herself. She said she was 5 minutes away from Sea Dog.
Did Connor tell you? No, he didn't tell you where we live, right?
Oh, no, he didn't. No, he didn't. Okay. I was just making a really stupid joke.
Okay. Nice. All right.
Good one, Lars. Anyway.
Oh, Lars.
Japan.
You piece of shit.
What a country.
Yes. So true.
It is a country.
It sure is.
Oh, can I tell my funny Japan story?
Oh, yeah, you tell me.
Yeah.
Okay. So when I was a kid, my mom used to work for the airlines.
Okay.
And so we would travel a lot. Because the deal is, I don't know if this is still the case, but back in the day, if you worked for the airlines, you could do something called standby. Like you and your family, you could get a standby ticket where if the plane wasn't full.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of these.
You could travel on it for like $20.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Such a
and
good
so we would just like, my dad and I had this thing where we would fairly regularly go to Boston for lunch. It was really cool. Like
just, did you get beans there?
We got barbecue.
Sweet.
Probably had some beans in there at some point.
Isn't that a thing? Boston beans?
Boston baked beans?
Isn't that a candy or something?
Sure.
I haven't even been to fucking America.
Anyway.
Standby.
We were traveling to
Boston.
Kuala Lumpur and Malaysia.
Okay.
And we had a layover in Japan, and I got really, really, really sick. Like, really sick.
Mm.
And ended up seeing a Japanese doctor, and he was a really good doctor.
What'd he do to you?
That sounded so sinister.
Where'd he touch you?
Did he pull a worm out of your ass, and then you were fine?
What did he do to you?
Did he expose you to dead baby hentai?
He gave me some... cough syrup, I think.
Read this, you'll throw up and you'll feel better.
He gave me some syrup that tasted like Diet Coke.
Oh, that's
and
good.
I was all better.
Oh. Yeah,
some scissor. Actually, wait, I went to a Japanese doctor too. I forgot. Because like, I got really sick for like 2 days. Yeah, it was weird.
What is it with traveling to Japan and getting sick?
So, for context, I went on a 2-week school trip, and then because I was a massive weeb on top of my class, they like found me a homestay to stay on for 2 weeks afterwards. But during the traveling around the school bit, we all stayed with like different families at this one school. Like I think it was the sister school of my school back in New Zealand. And the entire like we met our family at the train station, and then they drove us to their house, which was like an hour away. And the entire way there, I was feeling like really just not good. And then as soon as the door opened of the car, I just got out and vomited in the gutter, which is exactly the kind of introduction to like your new homestay family you want. I was only there for 2 days, but still.
Yeah.
But I had to just spend the night like, and while they went out for dinner and stuff, but they gave me some magical Japanese medicine and I was like fine the next day. It was such a turnaround. So
yeah, it was shockingly fast turnaround from Japanese medicine.
Yeah. what do they have that we don't
have?
What
are they doing right?
Yeah. It was good. I've never recovered from a stomach bug that quickly before.
Mm-hmm. Like suspiciously fast.
Mm. Anyway.
I want to move to Japan. Can we all just move to Japan? Well,
yeah,
Sydney's already there, but.
Yeah. What's the COVID situation like there? Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's very bad. Japan's handling this like fucking idiots.
Really?
Yeah. One of the worst countries actually in the world handling it statistically.
Oh, I was under the impression
they would have been
kind of on top of it.
Yeah, because they're always like technology wise and just like kind of everything else, they're always like ahead of the curve. So I'm surprised.
It's more, once again, like the pride thing. Kind of, like you said before, they don't want to accept initially vaccines from other countries. And they also wanted the Olympics to happen so badly that they just weren't paying attention to the country.
Sure.
Yeah.
Until literally like 2 days ago.
Yeah. Damn.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah.
I've also heard that like there's this sort of things in Japan, like you say, I guess about pride. They also have like intense respect for their elders, which is a good thing. But you do end up with situations where there could be people placed in charge. Like there's also a very strict hierarchy. So people who often get in positions of power aren't necessarily the best fit for the jobs. They've just been there for the longest or the oldest.
Oh yeah.
So you end up with these weird situations. Like I've heard that like, even though, you know, Japan, very tech savvy, technology advanced country, but then at some offices, they'll still be using fax machines just because like the manager in charge is this old fart who refuses to like get with the times. And so he makes everyone use faxes and no one wants to argue with him because he's the boss, you know? So I could see that maybe affecting that too, where maybe the guy in charge of like disease control in Japan is just some guy who's been in the government for longer than everyone else, but doesn't actually know what the fuck he's doing.
That's actually exactly it. It's kind of a huge issue here of why Japan is like in this weird middle ground between modern yet still in the ancient times, is because they do have that kind of hierarchy where it's like the longest you've been in there will give you a higher position, even if you clearly don't know what the fuck is going on.
Right.
Mm.
Yeah. So the country's being run by a bunch of like 80, 90 year olds that, you know, don't know what to do.
I heard that the head of like cybersecurity doesn't even have a computer at home. Something like
wouldn't
that.
Be surprised.
Which I mean, that's a good way to protect yourself from cyber attacks.
Yeah, that's
but
the ultimate cyber security. Can't get hacked if you don't have a computer.
I don't think anyone can hack a typewriter.
Yeah.
Not yet.
So here's a question. I'm wondering if you have any opinions on salaryman culture.
Salaryman culture.
Yeah.
Go
ahead and explain what it is, by the way.
So salaryman culture, I guess, is sort of like, well, most of the jobs in Japan are for salarymen, you know, going to do average work in a company, filing, accounting, whatever. But obviously in Japan, it's all about kind of pulling your weight. Otherwise, you're useless to an alarming degree where it's excessive. Like you will literally wake up, go to work 6 a.m. and then come back last train. So midnight.
Damn.
And it's actually very common to die from overworking here.
Damn.
And the suicide rates, of course, are because, you know, excessive working. But it's unfortunate, but I, you know, there's not much I can, in regards to what I think about it, can really say.
Yeah.
Because I'm not, a salaryman.
I hear that that is in the very slow process of changing, though. Like the attitude towards it. Yeah. I remember reading about it and saying like, apparently like the newer generations are not as keen on it. That's just what I read though. Like I have no idea if that's actually true.
I could see why.
Yeah, exactly.
But I will say like, even if the younger generations do feel like that, they kind of are inclined to follow their old elders. So I don't think that's going to change in my opinion.
Okay.
Yeah.
Could be a very slow that process sucks. Though. Like is... You know, especially as the world has opened up more and more to like other cultures and other ways of doing things, people might start realizing like, oh, this isn't as sustainable and other countries do just fine without it.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say like even like just logistically, eventually that's that would inevitably collapse at some point. Like, even if they don't want to change it, like that's,
yeah,
having this situation where you devote your entire life and existence to a job and you're, you know, going out with your coworkers every night to these hostess clubs or host bars, I'm not sure what they're called, and then just, you know, working yourself to death, eventually they're gonna have to wake up to that, I guess.
Yeah
Or maybe I'm just not being cynical enough.
You'd hope so, but who knows.
Yeah You'd hope so.
I think the only real solution here is to make Sid Snap president of Japan. Yeah,
make me prime minister, yo.
Yeah. Oh, is that what it is, a prime minister?
Yeah, I don't think they have a president. Do they have a president?
They do not, no.
What is the difference between a president and a prime minister? Because I've never quite got that.
So,
okay.
One is prime. Yeah, the other is prez.
I mean, at the end of the day, it's just the leader of the country.
Yeah, it's like pretty much the same. It's just weird that it seems to swap. It usually seems to be, it's either America or like dictatorships that seem to have a president. I don't know why that is.
Yeah. Well, the American president is really just like a prime minister.
Yeah. I think president sounds way cooler. Prime minister, like you're a minister. I mean, you're the best.
Yeah.
The prime minister. Actually, that sounds like something from an anime.
Metroid, right, prime minister.
Yeah.
Yeah, you convinced me otherwise. Kudos.
Sweet. Yeah, I convinced myself. Hey,
let's ask Sydney more stuff. Let's loop her in a little bit more. So we can talk to each other.
So Sydney, you're named after an Australian city. How does that feel?
I am, yes.
I'm so sorry.
Nice.
Yeah, I hear it's pretty shit there as well in Sydney.
Nah, Sydney's nice. Yeah. It's a beautiful town.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Sydney Opera House,
give
lovely.
Or take.
Yeah, it's a very like businessy city, you know, like there is it's not as like artsy as Melbourne where I live, but it's still a lovely place though. I love going there. Some amazing food. Shout out to Sydney if you're from Sydney.
Hell yeah.
That's all right.
Speaking of Australian cities, I'm looking up funny Australian city names. Apparently there's one called Bullshit Hill. Is that actually a thing?
Probably. Australians are a mix of people who don't give a shit. And
yeah, aren't there like really like, are there places in Australia with like really racist names?
Oh,
like,
probably.
Because somebody back in the day just was having a laugh and just named some hill like some racial slur or something.
Well,
isn't that a thing?
Well, there's a brand of cheese here that I'm not going to say the name, but until recently they changed the name. It was a slur for black people that starts with the letter C. That got changed recently, like in 2021. So.
Oh, good.
I don't know if that's indicative of anything. It's also like just a different culture, but there are definitely...
Right.
There's a park in Melbourne called Batman Park, which sounds kind of sweet, except it's been there since like the 1800s, I think. And I'm pretty sure it was a settler who...
Whoa,
like,
you guys have had Batman since way back then?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Cool. DC stole it. I could be wrong. I think it was like a settler stole a moniker from like an Aboriginal elder. And then he was like, now I'm Batman, and then named a park after himself. It was something really wanky
now
like
I'm
that.
Now I'm Batman.
And you know what? Quite a lot of bats there at night, so at least it's fitting.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It's sweet. I got picked up and carried away once.
What?
Anyway. Oh, he's joking.
Yeah, me neither.
What if you put your arms out in Batman Park and a giant bat picked up and took you away to the secret level?
So, like, how old are you guys? Like, how'd you guys meet then? Like, genuinely, like, what is this? What's
all
going on?
All three
here?
Of us are just content creators and just kind of came together.
Yeah, we're all just a couple of dudes in our late 20s just having a piss.
having a piss and a giggle?
Yeah, just a little bit of piss, a little bit of giggles. You know, it's like this podcast is basically one of those big urinals that aren't separated by anything. It's just like a big bowl with some ice in it.
All right.
Yeah, I don't know why you're trying to explain that to Sydney. You know those times you've been into a men's bathroom, so it's kind of like that.
Actually,
you know those big bowls.
I think everybody has like, you know, had a few drunken moments where the toilets were taken and you had to pee in like a urinal or something as a girl.
Yeah.
So
what the fuck?
Kind of That's get true. It, but I was also very drunk. So
what?
Well, I'm coming off as an alcoholic.
First, you had some wines. Now you're pissing in urinals.
No, my life's falling apart.
But you are living in Japan, so your life's doing good.
Oh yeah, right. Alcoholism is fine there. You're right.
Yeah. Alcoholism is fine there and here.
And England.
Yeah, I'm very proud of you, by the way, because I always wanted to move to Japan. That was always my goal in high school, and Like I said, it didn't quite happen.
What do you mean proud?
So she's living the life I always wanted in high school.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, you could still try, my guy.
That's true.
But I'm stuck.
Australia has like a lot of like visa stuff with Japan.
That's good, but I'm not from Australia.
Yeah, she's New Zealand.
He's a Kiwi.
Okay.
I've been racially profiled.
I have a couple more things in my notes here. One of them is that legal size paper implies that there's an illegal size paper.
Next one.
Okay, so what is it with, like, okay, this is especially prevalent in cartoons.
What's the deal with my penis being
I watching Seinfeld today. So here's my question. Why is it that whenever there's, like, a character, usually a villain, who's melting, why do they always say, I'm melting? Seems like...
Can we tie this back to Sydney somehow? Like, you know, all those hentai where the characters melt?
Sydney, why
have you ever melted?
What's with all those melting hentais? What's up with that?
Well, Sydney, why do you think people say, I'm melting when they're melting on TV? Like, why is that a thing?
Just want to make sure people know, you know? Like, you know, I'm not just like shrinking in size and turning into a puddle for fun.
Recreationally.
Some people, yeah, exactly. Because otherwise they might think this is like part of their master plan to melt.
Right.
Exactly. Oh, yeah, that's super ambiguous. You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck Lars.
You're right there, no plus.
So dumb.
Oh, Lars from Norway.
Okay,
Lars.
let me
Lars
do
Lars from Norway. Yes.
You know, reverse card.
Okay.
I don't know why I pronounce it, you know.
You know.
Yeah, you know.
You know.
So you asked us the question, what's the deal with this podcast? What's the deal with you?
Oh. What do you mean?
Yes.
I mean, like, what do I do?
No, like why are you, not why are you here, but like, why are you this presence on the internet? Like, what was the impetus for all
what
this?
What inspired you to become a content creator who focuses on lewd manga and anime? And
why are you much better so way to put fucking it, yeah. cool?
Yeah, okay, I was going to be like, what the fuck? Like, why do I exist? Okay.
How did you get off?
What's the deal with SidSnap?
Can you explain mitosis?
The fuck is wrong with you?
What the fuck is wrong? But so I guess like it's like easier, you know, as fellow content creators, you guys can understand, like, you start off wanting to make content about something you really like. You want to you know, talk about with people. I initially tried becoming a streamer and just thought to help with my, you know, gain more audience, I would start making YouTube videos as well. But instead, I like making YouTube videos. So I guess I just started because I liked reading manga. And then, you know, as time went on, I started finding a niche, you know, what people preferred listening to. And yeah, it was mostly, sentai.
Oh, I feel like,
yes,
honestly, and I honestly think you are fulfilling a niche, because there isn't a lot of channels that do that, at least none that I'm aware of. Mm-hmm. So I think there's definitely a spot for you.
Yeah,
internet.
You're right. There's no anime channels on YouTube. That's a very
Not that. I'm not saying anime channel. I'm saying, like, you know, what she does specifically, you know?
Okay.
And the way she conducts herself while doing it.
She's, what's that mean? I'm a person with it.
Very professional.
You do it well. Like, it's meant to be a compliment. Don't listen to Lars. He's trying to rephrase what I'm saying as a bad thing.
You make it classy, is what Dopex is saying.
Yeah.
I'm
thank
so
you,
grateful.
Kudos.
Thank you. Mm. Yeah. Like, just touching, like, you know, like vibrating, like, mouth dicks is, you know, what I you know, my calling, I'm sure. So I'm grateful for the compliment.
What the fuck? I'm still trying to comprehend that sentence.
That's just one of the perks of living in Japan, is they have a lot of very creative sex toys.
Yeah.
Very
and creative. Used panties. So when
I sell those too. When I was in the sex store when I was 17, it was really weird. The elevator, it was on the edge of a building in Tokyo. It was like one of those like really thin built like things, but it was like, I think it was in Akihabara.
Akihabara?
Yeah.
I know what you're talking
about. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. That one. I went in there, and this is one of those things where it's like, I swear this happened and I have no proof of it and I have no idea how to search it because it would be in Japanese. But I swear to God, in the elevator of the sex store, they had a massive poster advertising Kingdom Hearts brand dildos. And I don't know, like, that's definitely not an official product, but it all looked very authentic, and I to this day don't know if that's a real thing or not.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised.
And it's like bootleg sex toys a big thing in Japan.
I mean, yeah. Like, do you know Kimetsu no Yaiba?
I know. I do now.
No. Oh, do you guys watch anime at all?
Mm. I watched some.
Wow. All right. So I'm just
I watched. I watched
some. Yeah, I've watched like many series over the years.
I've been watching The Simpsons lately. Simpsons is pretty good.
I'm very picky with my animes. Like, me too. Like Samurai Flamenco. That one was good. And I'm also
Shampoo.
I'm also a bit of a basic bitch too. Like, I love me some Dragon Ball Z. What can I say?
Oh, it's pretty.
It's called Dragon Ball Z over here.
Oh, right. I'm really into Dragon Ball Z.
Thank you.
I have been since I was a kid. I'm sorry. And some others that I can't really think of off the top of my head.
Did you try and Kamehameha that guy who pulled a gun on you in Tijuana?
What is all this reference to Tijuana? Are you actually in Tijuana or something?
We used to live there.
You used to live there and you almost died a few times?
Yeah. I lived there for a couple of years and I did almost die a few times.
That's really awesome.
Yeah, it was great. So, great
question for the podcast. What's like the most like obscure anime that you liked? Because that'll probably give Sydney something to work with.
Mm. Mm.
The Simpsons.
Well,
let's see. When I was a kid, I was really into this anime that I don't really remember, but I know that I had like a bunch of toys for it. It was like these like gladiators in space.
Gundam.
No, it wasn't Gundam. It was like these like dudes that like they're all these pretty dudes and they had like different colored hair.
Wait, you're talking about Knights of Sidonia?
I don't know if that was it. I don't remember the name. But that,
how old are you?
I'm 28, so this is probably like
Wait, really?
Ew. Yeah. Kudos, you're the same age as me.
No, I'm 27.
Oh, big fucking difference.
Yeah, big difference. I thought you were my age.
Gross. We're only a few months apart, I think.
Here we are.
Anyway.
Yeah. Anyway.
Anyway. I don't remember the exact name of it, but that was pretty obscure, I think.
I think I know what you're talking about.
Oh. Let's throw some names at you. Like when I was a kid, I think I watched Steel Angel Kurumi, Tenshin Narmon, and Excel Saga. Do any of those names mean anything to you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Those are actually pretty like I'm not a pedophile. How old are you?
That's exactly, that's kind of instilling confidence in me. No, seriously, I'm not a pedophile anyway.
Tell me your age, sex, location.
Yeah.
Because like Cell Saga was like when I was, how old are you though? Just tell
32.
Me. Though. Okay. So you said you were a kid when you watched those?
Yeah.
How young's a kid for you?
Like 13 or 14?
Really? I guess Excel. Okay, yeah. Excel Saga would be. Okay, yes, I do know what you're talking about.
Okay.
All right.
Yes.
Another successful bit of the first podcast.
We got it. I'm going to embarrass myself here and say I think I've only ever watched Death Note.
Wow.
Ooh, Death Note's
but here's
good,
the thing.
Though.
I don't really watch any TV shows. I am, as they say, a gamer. Like, I really don't, I don't actually watch much TV ever. And if I do, it's like I'm watching YouTube. So I can't tell you the last show I watched was like True Detective, and that was like 3 months ago. I really don't watch
Kudos. To be completely fair, kudos. I feel like saying the only anime you've watched is Death Note is kind of the equivalent of saying like the only adult cartoon I've ever watched is Futurama. Like it's like if that's the only one you've watched, it's a pretty good one.
Because I started watching and I was like, oh, this is awesome. And then I've never really been around people who like watch a lot of anime. Maybe I have.
I've been really cliche to say, but I feel like Death Note is the anime that I recommend to people if they don't like anime.
Very good for that.
Yeah.
I feel like it's debatable because obviously, I mean, I'm not going to go on a Death Note review, but it does drag sometimes.
It does drag and like the end season's a bit weird for like the first half of it, not to spoil anything. But
The second half of Death Note is not as good.
Yeah. You usually recommend like some of the dead baby stuff, don't you, Sydney?
Yeah.
I'm actually just more surprised now considering like you guys had a lot of anime guests, but you know. Don't watch anime.
I've watched a decent amount. It's Kudos who's kind of the,
I'm the black sheep of the podcast.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. I've been meaning to watch I've been meaning to watch. Actually, you know, I have watched. I watched Attack on Titan back when like only one season was out. That was really cool. And then I was like, sweet, I need to watch the rest of this. And then it took fucking a billion years to come out. And then I forgot that I liked it.
I think
until right now.
I think I was like that for Tokyo Ghoul.
Mm. Oh, Tokyo Drift. That was wait.
Yeah, that's it. That's the one.
I watched the Animatrix. I don't know.
Yeah, I like anime. I've watched Caillou.
Did you know that there's a thing with Caillou where apparently, like, if your child's misbehaving, they say to, like, check if he's been watching Caillou? Because there's, like, it's a widely documented thing that kids who watch Caillou learn to misbehave from it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because Caillou's a little shit.
He's a little shit and he always gets away with it. So, like, apparently they're saying, like, oh, make sure, like, your babysitter or whatever isn't letting your child watch Caillou because that could be where his, like, like mean streak comes from.
Caillou is making my kids suck ass.
The demon Caillou. Hey, I've got a question for you, Sydney. Why does it with teenage girls when you're a teenager always trying to make you watch yaoi?
I just think that a lot of anime girls when they're teenagers want to see you kiss a guy then or something. That's the case.
Yeah. Oh.
So to make it real, like maybe they'll like this and think they're like, you know, they'll maybe want to kiss their friends for me.
There was just a lot of
that explains my high school life.
I could see it.
Sweet.
I could see it.
By the way, I don't know if you guys have any like non-serious topics you want to bring in before I bust out something kind of serious.
Sydney, what do you think of this? Hold on, wait. What do you think of this?
Is that from an anime? Can you guess which one?
That's like Donkey Kong, right?
Interesting.
Yeah.
The Donkey Kong
it's
anime.
Donkey Kong.
All right. Now, what do you think of this?
Wait, I had a question before. Is Donkey Kong technically an anime? Because it is like from Japan.
There was a 3D anime.
Yeah, there was
it wasn't an
Crystal
anime.
Kong.
No, it wasn't an anime.
I would call it an anime. What? That was legit like 3D shit.
What's that called?
Well, anything could be considered an anime.
Legit as in, yeah, it was 3D animation. Not legit as in it was a quality product.
It was awful. Side note, is that a big thing in Japan, like 3D TV shows?
I mean, it's a mixed bag, really. There's a lot of little baby stuff in there. I don't know. Yeah. Like, they have a lot of 3D, but also, like, niche other things like puppets or...
I suppose there's also stuff...
So it's...
Is it Beastars I've seen? Like that's like a 2.5D kind of thing where they'll like use 3D models but then like render them in such a way that it appears more hand drawn. It's probably more that stuff, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I liked how you said that, by the way. Makes big. I'm gonna start saying it like that. That was cool. Okay. Okay, so to get into the kind of like a serious topic, because this is something I've been wanting to bring up for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Are you guys familiar with the concept of toxic positivity?
I think we might have talked about this briefly, but yeah, continue, Lars, Norway.
So toxic positivity is, so I'll just back up here and explain that there's this thing where people are like trying to put out good vibes and positive vibes only. And to an extent, that's healthy. I think it's good to have a positive attitude if you can in general, and this is, I think, especially true in the content creation sphere. There is a pressure to kind of have that all the time. And I think that can be damaging, where it's like good vibes only, but really it's like, well, you know, our lives aren't perfect. And having that pressure to constantly be like thumbs up and everything's on the up and up and I'm, you know, feeling great it can be very detrimental. I think
that's why like all kids channels are like probably pedophiles. I'd say 99%. Cause like, you can never not be 100% on those channels. Like I don't know. I've always had the feeling that the people who do the really saccharine baby shit are like probably secretly the most fucked up people behind closed doors. Meanwhile, people like us and like Sydney, where there are a history of baby dead anime, is significantly more well-adjusted and like probably like grounded. I genuinely mean that. Like I do think that people who are, it's like Do you ever hear the people who used to have to storyboard for Rugrats, every now and then they just have a fucking blowout and they draw like the most heinous shit because they just need to just, like, get it off out of their system because they're so sick of drawing like fucking babies waddling around.
Oh.
Have you seen? There's one of those that leaked online. Yeah. It's kind of fucked up.
No, that's
up.
True. Yeah.
Yeah, so like that kind of shit.
I see what you mean when it comes to kids' channels. I also see this a lot in vlogs in particular. Where it's like, what's up, guys? Today we're going to da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I'm so excited and da-da-da-da.
Yeah, we've got this crazy day planned. Holy shit, my life's insane. We're going to do this and this. And it's like, they never just have a day where it's like,
my life's insane.
Dude, I can't be bothered getting out of fucking bed today, man.
Yeah.
I'd have so much more respect for people if they did that. If they were just like, yeah, look, dude, this like, fucking life is hard, especially right now. Just, I don't know. It's humans are multifaceted. I could see where you come from for sure. In fact, I agree entirely.
Sydney, have you run into this yourself? I'm curious.
Me?
Yeah. Have you run into this kind of pressure?
Of course. Like, I just feel like when you run into people like that in general, especially because humans are complex, obviously. Ooh, yeah. But,
complex and smelly.
But I will say, you know, sometimes you aren't feeling good and you wish you could talk to somebody about it, but they're always like, no, positive vibes only. So, and it makes you feel kind of like shit for having emotions. And that's pretty lame, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially when sometimes you just want to be a cynic, you know? Like,
yeah,
what's wrong with that? Like, what if I want to hate something? Let me hate it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sort of like a toxic mixed masculinity type beat. But like extrapolated out to like everyone, like you're not allowed to have emotions. You just have to stiff upper lip, except stiff upper lip and sides of mouth into a smile, buddy.
It's also, I was watching a video about this today because I was looking up the subject because it just wanted to know what I was talking about. And there's this pressure in some circles when it comes to reviewing content or just any situation where someone's supposed to give an opinion. There's pressure to kind of like everything. And to downplay the faults of things. Like I hear that this is a problem in some fandoms where it's like, no, you got to like it all. You got to think everything's cool.
Yeah.
Well, otherwise you're actually, this is actually kind of a good segue to what TJ just posted in the chat about cynicism. But Sydney, you and I have both had run-ins with Leafy is here. Is that true?
How did you have a run-in with Leafy?
He made a video on a video that I was on like years ago, but he made that video fairly recently, after I even cared at all.
You just kind of showed up.
Yeah.
You just showed up and it didn't. Like you were just.
It was a collab that I did in a video that Leafy was doing a video on when he made his big glorious return.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I also had that same issue.
Oh, really?
Except he showed mine a bit more and was, he wasn't too kind in it. to be fair, it was also a video I made when I was younger that, you know, I forgot about and unfortunately was posted without context. Or it was a satire, but it didn't look like satire.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so I did not have a good few years on that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Pretty terrible. No, man, you know, I'm better for it.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
It makes you feel any better. Leafy is no longer here or anywhere for that matter.
Oh!
No, sorry, I was not supposed to be that loud. Sorry.
Oh, that was good. Oh, you brought up the whole toxic positivity thing, Lars, I thought you were talking, initially, I thought you were talking about. You mentioned how like repeatedly getting positive comments, you kind of eventually run out of things to say, or you're not really too sure what to say at a certain point.
Can you give me an example of that?
Well, I think you specifically mentioned it, but it's something, you know, you do encounter where like if you get like a lot of DMs, like nice ones, it's hard because you feel obligated to reply because it's really nice when someone sends you something nice like that. But you know, you kind of get to a point where you've not really too sure what to say. Like you've already said, oh, thanks, man, appreciate that like 500 times. And it's probably starts feeling a bit disingenuous.
Well, because at the end of the day, all you really say, it just boils down to thanks. Like there's not much you can do with a compliment, unfortunately.
I can say though that I much prefer that than then, you know, the opposite, which I've had a bit of an influx of lately, I guess just because of the recent surge in interest in my channel. Most of it's still been super positive, but there has been, you know, just, I'm sure you can attest this as well. So as soon as your thing starts blowing up, positivity starts to shrink. Not a lot, just a couple percent. But mm-hmm. as soon as things start hitting the mainstream, that's when people with really stupid opinions come out.
Yeah, it's an unfortunate reality of being on the internet, especially if you're making content for people to look at, that you're going to get one or two or probably even more mean comments.
Mm. Please, because I think part of that is kind of natural, though, because in the beginning, you're mostly going to get feedback from people who are personally invested in what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
exactly.
then as your channel grows, you get a lot more casual viewers at that point and a lot more diverse opinions and stuff. Doesn't excuse shittiness, just...
Yeah, no, it explains it. Yeah.
To be fair, the only ones that really hurt, right, are the ones that really dig into you. You know, the ones that are just like, instead of saying like, oh, you suck, they'll be like, you're so ugly. Look, you think you're so funny when you do this, when in reality, you come off as annoying or something like that. And it's just like, oh my God, what if they're right?
I remember hearing this on the podcast years ago, but the comments that sting the most are the ones you agree with. So, like, if someone points at something, like, it maybe even just something like, oh, your audio was really fucked up at this point, and you listen back, and you're like, oh, damn, they're right. Like, I didn't notice that at the time. Or, if they do say something that you're like, maybe
self-conscious.
Yeah, something you're self-conscious about, or you maybe you didn't have enough time to work on this one specific bit, and they're like, oh, this bit was really boring, and you're like, damn it. Yeah, I agree. Those are the ones that kind of sting the most.
It's kind of fucked to, like, criticize someone's audio in their first videos, though. Like, of course it's gonna suck.
Well, some people don't realize that it's your first videos, like that, like, because my first video gets recommended a lot, I guess. I mean, the title is good and it's got Pokemon in the thumbnail, so, you know, I think go me. But like, that just gets recommended after, like, someone watches one of my videos, that'll get recommended next, so they don't know that that's my literal first video. And honestly, it's weird though, most people don't notice it. I hate it. I cannot go back and listen. It sounds so bad to me. But every now and then someone will be like, oh, hey, just so you know, your audio quality in this isn't very good. And I'm like, I know, it's so bad.
It's kind of, I think I got kind of lucky. And when I first started the podcast, the first iTunes review I got was someone giving us a 1-star and saying, stupid people, how interesting. And it's like, it kind of stung at the time, but it kind of weathered me to shitty comments.
Honestly,
so like now I just don't even care.
That comment, but unironically, is a great description of the podcast. Like, how interesting. You know, you can put a positive spin on it. So it's like, yeah, it's fine. what you were saying before, Lars, about how, like, there's that obligation to love everything and YouTube comments, to tie this both in, I watched Donkey's video on YouTube comments last night, which is a great video, the one he did about the Last of Us 2. And that was a kind of interesting... video because he liked that game, so, and he got hate for it, so it was an interesting thing where you don't necessarily have to love everything. As long as you go with the grain of what everyone else is saying, people will be on board. As soon as you have a dissenting opinion, whether you say, oh no, this movie that everyone likes, I actually hate it, you'll get dogged on. But then, weirdly enough, if you say, hey, this game that everyone hates, I actually kind of like it, that'll get you just as much hate, if not more, for some reason, because you're like, yeah.
I feel like that's kind of a weird situation with that one, because The Last of Us Part 2 was a critical and commercial darling. Like, it was very well reviewed by critics. And
well, you also got to think about, like, the social aspect to it. Because, like, when I was working at Inside Gaming and I put out that video about how the game was good, I got a lot of hate for it just because I liked it. Like, my personal opinion got a lot of hate because I was then viewed as, like, a social justice warrior libtard.
Well, that was a lot of the stuff in his video. Not to say that everyone who hated the game had that opinion, but like there was a lot of the comments that were like, "Wow, it's pushing an agenda." Like, this is Neil Druckmann SJW nonsense, all this shit. So I was like, "All right."
But the game was good. It was a good game. I liked it a lot.
Really sad because I didn't think I was going to play it. Like, I had no real intention to. So I just, like, looked it up what happened to see what everyone was whinging about, and now I'm like, no, I actually kind of do want to. You know, like I hadn't played the first one. I was like, I'm probably not going to play the second one. And now I'm like, really do it. She kind of want to play it, but I know everything that happens now. And I'm like, God damn it. Fucking idiot.
I think it's new enough that I wouldn't spoil it or anything. Like, I would, let's keep it a secret, but yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I see what you mean.
Good. Fair enough. Fair enough.
Sydney!
Fair. Yeah.
Sydney!
Yeah.
What's been your experience with YouTube comments been as a hentai channel?
I mean, they've mostly been funny, of course. I don't read all of them because there's a lot, but, well, that sounded like a brag. I'm not bragging, but I read them a little bit here and there. Of course, you'll come by some that are like, you know, because obviously if you look too much into your comments, I feel like it ruins your day once you see someone like that's going to be like, oh, you look so ugly in this. You'll be like, shit, you're right. It's like, fuck. Usually I don't really read them too often.
I feel like because anime and I'm not too sure what the hentai fandom is like, not to distance myself. I don't really read hentai comments, but anime fans famously very passionate, to put an optimistic spin on it. Do you run into that much at all? Like people who are like very furious that you said something about their favorite anime or their least favorite anime?
Oh, yes, of course. Like, I just had a whole issue because I did a video about a hentai adaption, and I guess there's a fan base for it, like hentai, like I read the manga version, I guess is easier to say, of it, and then there was a hentai adaption of it and it wasn't very good, and I pissed off a lot of the hentai fandom for that.
Oh.
And they were very passionate. Yes, they were. I didn't think people could be so passionate about like, you know, drunks fucking each other, but I guess I'm wrong.
But here they are.
They are.
Was that there was a Twitter thread I saw today of this guy. I think that might have been the one you're referencing. And it started out as him critiquing like English localization. And then by the end of it, he was like railing on trans people. It was the weirdest thing. It was like, he just like he gets more and more deranged the longer the tweet thread went down.
I just read that one as well. Yeah. Towards Crunchyroll, right?
Yeah. That was fucking insane. Yeah. So I can imagine people like that having in your YouTube comments would probably be quite fun.
Yes. It's always the comments where they like, do you guys get those comments where like people just start randomly role playing with each other in the comments? It's like, why are you here?
I can't say I have, but I'm gonna keep it. I'll keep an eye out for this. I haven't touched much anime.
Wait, are we talking about ERP?
Yeah. Huh? Just like they'll just be like, "Ooh, star asterisk kisses you on the cheek." senpai, why would you do that? It's like, why are you in my comments?
It's really funny that the idea of people that are like so horny that they start ERPing just like in like comments and like replies to stuff.
Oh, yes.
Can't even contain themselves.
Asterisk shits on your chest. Asterisk.
How do you like? Would you feel good if you found out one day that like two people like met and fell in love because they started ERPing in your comments?
I hope to God that happens one day.
That probably has happened.
I mean, yes, yeah, theoretically it could.
Yeah,
I feel like a god. I feel like, yeah, I brought you together.
Your comment section is like match.com for weebs.
Yes. Most pathetic match.com.
Or the best.
Mm-hmm.
The superior one.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Sydney, we're getting to that point. Is there anything you want to get to before we kind of wrap this up?
No. I mean, live and live die, right?
What's your favorite food at 7-Eleven in Japan?
Depends on the day. I guess I really like the katsu sando.
Ooh, there's a place near me that does those. I've been so keen to try it. But then
get it.
I will, but it probably won't be as good.
It won't be.
Oh. Why does 7-Eleven here smelly and there's always people outside doing meth?
Why can't that be me doing meth?
I want to do meth, mummy. there's a 7-Eleven in town in Melbourne City. Any Melbournians, it's, I can't remember what the fucking street's called, but it's in town anyway. And I don't know what it is, but like a lot of addicts have taken up outside that entire block, and it is the sketchiest walk. And it's so weird because all the like every street either side of it is totally normal. It's like pretty flash in town, and then there's just this one outside of a 7-Eleven where there's just like people huddled together, like tweaking out and like spasming on the ground. It's really depressing. And then you just walk another block and there's just like McDonald's and you're just back to normal. Anyway, that was my that's my 7-Eleven story.
Sounds like a fever dream.
It is. You don't have that in Japan. Or maybe you do, actually. I don't know.
We have like some men drunk on the side of the road asleep.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. It's not quite meth, but...
They're just living their life.
Yeah.
7-Eleven introduced me to super long charging cables, and I can't go back now. Like, I see people selling like 4-foot cables in stores, and I'm like, what the fuck?
That's it?
Yeah.
Lars uses them to like traverse gaps like in Wind Waker.
Yeah.
No, I have a 25-foot one in my room so that like ridiculous. I can charge from literally anywhere. Like I could go next door. It's like still
that's
there.
Really comical. Like you just keep walking.
It's so unnecessary.
It's really unnecessary, but it was like $7 on Amazon. So
okay. Do you see the power come through it like big lumps like in a cartoon?
Yeah, I do. Kudos.
Okay.
Like a hose spitting oil.
Bloop, bloop.
SimCity.
Delicious.
Anyway.
Yes.
Sitsnap, if people wanted to
check out your stuff, where would they go?
What's your in hentai account? Snap.
Yes. Just type in Sitsnap anywhere you go. Just do it, and I'll be there.
That's SYDSNAP. You feel free to swap any or all those letters around. It might still work.
Yeah.
I just want to clarify, by the way, Mom, if you're listening, don't click that link. Just
Mom.
Don't.
Bookmark
do
it.
Do it.
Mom.
Click the link.
And Mom, if you're listening, Mommy. What are you doing here? Go away. No, you can stay.
You've been listening to the first podcast.
Oh.
Subscribe on YouTube today if you haven't already. Really helps us out a lot. Donate on Patreon at patreon.com/T1podcast to get bonus episodes of the show, early listening privileges, a patron-only chat, a funny role on the Discord, a platonic kiss from... I don't know why I said it that way.
Platonic. So sweet.
From me.
You can choose anywhere for it as well.
Yes. Lewd.
Come here. Me.
When are we commissioning a hentai of the... Never mind.
What?
Nothing.